We look at three aspects of coronavirus pandemic today, and three from different geographical regions and different dimensions. So one from Europe, but this has implications for all of the world, including India. The other from all of India, because some major changes have taken place in how India is responding to this pandemic at a scientific level. And third is on one state in India, the most remarkable state of Telangana. And you will know what I call, why I call it so remarkable. So first of all, what's coming out of Europe? Now, we know, in fact, in episode 419 and 425 of Cut the Clutter, we had spoken in detail about an Imperial College study, Imperial College London ICL. That study was conducted by a group headed by a very renowned epidemiologist, Neil Ferguson. Neil, N-E-I-L, not Neil as in N-I-A-L-L. That's a historian and writer. So Neil Ferguson at Imperial College London. And that study had painted a very scary scenario. And that is the study that said, if you remember, that in America, if no mitigation and suppression was carried out, which means if you were not going to lock down essentially, you were going to lose 2.2 million lives, 22 lakh lives. That was a lot of lives. It also said that if all of the world does not carry out massive suppression and mitigation, then you could lose 9 crore people, 90 million people. It also said that if you followed all possible mitigations and suppression, then America might have about 100,000 or dead, depends on how heavy the suppression is. That put the fear of God and the fear of death in everybody's minds. Because around that time, a lot of the countries were weighing their options in terms of which direction should they be headed in. The relevance right now and the provocation right now is the situation in United Kingdom. Britain has now had nearly 35,000 dead. Deaths are rising, although at a lower pace, but the deaths are rising. This is more than the best case scenario that were gamed after the full lockdown was ordered. Now remember, Britain initially had decided, Boris Johnson had decided to go the way of Sweden, which was the way of aggressively seeking herd immunity. Basically, what is the Swedish way? Use relaxed mitigation, which means social distancing, mask use, etc., etc. Trust the citizen, no lockdown, let everything keep running. In the course of time, herd immunity will come, but at the same time, protect the old, protect the vulnerable, but count on your citizens to look after themselves. Now, this study, the Imperial study, in fact, poo-pooed the Swedish approach. Swedish approach with Boris Johnson was also following to begin with. It said that if Britain carried on like the Swedish way, then Britain by the end of the summer, by the end of June, will have 500,000 plus dead, 5,10,000 dead. That's a lot of people dead in a small country like Britain. Britain, remember, population is just about 5% of India's population. So that 500,000 plus dead is a lot of dead. That scared everybody. And that scared everybody. And Boris Johnson changed his direction midstream, or changed horses midstream, or changed strategies midstream. Because he panicked, and that is the time when pictures were coming out of Italy, out of Spain, and it looked like UK was going to head for a disaster. So Boris Johnson retreated from his initial idea of seeking herd immunity. So Britain ended up getting the best of both worlds. Initially, for some time, it let things be relaxed. Then it imposed a complete lockdown. By that time, the virus was widespread. So Britain has had quite a few deaths. It will still not reach that figure of 500,000. It had quite a few deaths still, and at the same time destroyed its economy. Sweden did nothing of the sort. Now, what did this study predict for Sweden? Now, Sweden is a controversial case study, and we have spoken about this in the past because, say, mid-April, late April, there was an impression building up that Sweden has actually gone wrong with its strategy, that its fatalities and cases per million population, it's only just about a few million population, is actually getting worse than its neighbors. But if you look at the situation today, it does look like the Swedes are getting vindicated. So what did the Imperial study say about Sweden if Sweden had continued on with its herd immunity strategy? They said that if this had carried on, then in Sweden by May 1, 40,000 people would have died. They said by May 1, 40,000 people will die because the study came much earlier. Then it said even if Sweden uses all mitigation and lockdown and suppression, these deaths could be reduced to 20,000, maybe with luck up to 10,000. They also said that if Sweden follows its own herd immunity strategy, then by the end of June, the tiny country of like Sweden, which is just a fraction of the population of Britain, will have 100,000 dead. Now, 100,000 dead in what is probably the world's best, not probably, I think most certainly the world's best public health system. That looked like a lot of dead. Now, Sweden still decided to go its own way, ignored the Imperial College study. Britain changed horses or boats midstream or directions midstream, and from going the Sweden way, halfway through, followed the Imperial College lockdown prescription. What has happened now? Sweden at this point has only 2,462, that is as of yesterday, 2,462 dead. And the curve is flattened, at least for now the curve is flattened. Deaths are not going up very marginally, new cases are going up very marginally, the economy was not disrupted at all. Britain, on the other hand, has a devastated economy and has a very large number of infections. Around 35,000 are dead, numbers are rising. Its prime minister himself has been infected by coronavirus. So Britain is a shambles. Now, is this study at fault? Now, this study has become very controversial for a bunch of reasons. One, the chief author of the study, the chief scientist, the senior most scientist, who is a globally acknowledged and acclaimed epidemiologist, that is Neil Ferguson. He himself hit quite a bad controversy earlier in May, when it was discovered or it was reported that he was receiving home visits from his lover, a married woman, in his home despite the lockdown. So here is the author of the lockdown himself defying the lockdown by receiving visits from his lover. Dil da mamla hai, kya karega? So, but he was not supposed to do it. Now, this got exposed when this story came out. There was a big controversy and Neil Ferguson resigned. He resigned from a body called SAGE, S-A-G-E, which stands for Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies. That is the apex group that the British Prime Minister has. So, he was the key epidemiologist there. He quit from that group. Now, this is a very polarized situation right now in the whole world. Britain is no exception. This was immediately debated on the left-right basis. So the media of the right, intellectuals of the right, politicians of the right began to attack Neil Ferguson, because also the right in Britain has to find an alibi for what Boris Johnson might have done wrong, because British handling of coronavirus at this point, you would say, for any major country is the worst in the whole world. The two countries to have handled it the worst of all, it's a very tough competition between two great democracies in the richest parts of the richest countries in the world. It's a dead heat between Trump's America and Boris Johnson's UK. Now, UK particularly because this study came out of UK. That's why this becomes very central to the political debate there. Now, Daily Telegraph, which is obviously a paper inclined to the right, but a respected paper, an old traditional paper, they have carried an article by two software experts. These are not epidemiologists or medical scientists. These are software experts. This is David Richards and Konstantin Budnik, who have said, who in fact in this article called Imperial College's model the most devastating software mistake in the history of mankind. I'll again say humankind. Other articles supporting this, again by software people, are saying that this is the biggest and the most and enormously more damaging after the Mariner 1 crash in 1962. That was a Venus probe that NASA sent out. It took off from Cape Canaveral and crashed shortly afterwards. Later, it was traced back to a software error, and that was 1962. It was a very old software. So they say that this is a bigger software error, and that one did not cause any loss of life because this was an unmanned craft. This one has caused maybe loss of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of lives. Now, what do they base this criticism on? So, I've been trying to declutter medicine, science, politics, economics, geostrategy, everything for you. But where I hit a wall in terms of my own ability to even comprehend, it is software. So, don't ask me for details because most people know more about software than I do. I am very technophobic. But basically, these critics say in this article that these imperial modelers followed a very old software, like almost what is called as the Fortran generation. That software has always been prone to errors. I found one more letter in the Guardian, in a story. Now, Guardian, as we know, is on the other side, it's on the left. That story is based on a combined letter written by 25 scientists defending Neil Ferguson, not saying that he is right, but to say that just because he has had one controversial issue, it's unfair to blame him for everything that's gone wrong. That letter says that the software used was C++, whatever that means. Please, again, don't ask me. So, you figure out what that distinction is. Once again, if I get it wrong, I am forgiven that much. Nevertheless, that whether it was software A or B, it was a very old software that's prone to errors. And the world of software has now moved on light years ahead of this. So, I also find articles from people saying that, oh, you software engineers, you are blaming these epidemiologists. Look inside, you are the ones who should have come and given better software for these epidemiologists because they don't know how to write code. Anyway, the upshot is that it is now evident that something was wrong with this panic modeling. And you know, we have spoken about some of this a few times in India's context. There was one modeling that said, so each modeling told you about a few million Indians who will die. I think about a million should have died by now, right? And that's when I also said we've disappointed the world. We are so sorry. We are dying, and you know, more will die, but unfortunately. But these models have now been exposed, unfortunately, as very hollow. I am avoiding the temptation to use the word hoaxes. But these models go wrong because they work on the basis of what the economists call ceteris paribus, all factors remaining the same. How can you presume that a pandemic like this will hit any population, and that population, the government, the leaders will do nothing about it? What happens then is something that is intangible. It's not easy to convert that into math all the time because human intervention and math, it's very difficult to game human intervention. Nevertheless, this is the controversy right now that's going on after this. And there is a lot of review taking place. So I think I'll move on from this point from here and come to the next one, which is a national issue. And again, I'll talk very briefly. Now, I had said a few days back that ICMR was making this flip-flop flips. So I did get an approach from ICMR and from government of India to try and explain some of this. So some of this has been explained to me. I'm not saying I'm buying all of that, but I'm just telling you what is now being said about the new discharge policy. Because we had then said that you first said once a person tests positive, quarantine, then after 10 or 12 days, test again. And when there are two negative tests in 24 hours, let the person go home. Clear that person is non-infectious. A week back, ICMR said there is no need to conduct a test after 10 days, particularly for asymptomatic people, they can just go home. So we said, what is this change? Now, it's been explained to me, and I think we'll talk about it in more detail tomorrow, and I'll quote a couple of research papers and studies that ICMR has sent to me, where they are basing this, including a study of their own of 2,000 patients in India that say that asymptomatic but positive coronavirus patients are much less infectious than was thought earlier. And also, if they are asymptomatic, then after about 3 or 4 days, the amount of virus they shed goes down drastically, and in about 10 days, they are non-infectious. So instead of clogging your quarantine centers and hospitals, it's unless they need treatment, if they are asymptomatic, they should go home. They can take care at home, isolate themselves a little bit if they want to, use masks, sanitation, the usual things. But they are repeat tests are not needed. And one of the examples, one of the arguments I've been given is that in many of these cases, repeat tests were again showing positive. Now it's been conclusively proven that even after the active virus goes out of our bodies, after our immune system has defeated the active virus, even then RNA particles remain in our body, which this RT-PCR test keeps picking up. So there were cases where patients or asymptomatic positive people were staying for a couple of months in a quarantine center because they were still testing positive. So apparently in Europe now, they are letting people go home after 3 days if they're asymptomatic to quarantine, to self-quarantine at home. Now, India is not Europe. Everybody's home doesn't have that kind of space. So 10 days, after 10 days, if a patient remains asymptomatic, the patient goes home. ICMR says no second test is required. I have to say on this note that three of my colleagues were tested positive in Vadodara, as some of you might know. Simran Surur, Praveen Jain, our photo editor, and Anil, their driver. So after 10 days, new instructions had come, but we still insisted that they go through not one test, but two tests over 48 hours. And only when those were negative have they been let go with certificate saying they are non-infectious. But ICMR is now changing this guideline, and this is the rationale they've given. As I said, tomorrow or day after, I will share some more studies with you. And finally, something which again I will talk about more detail a little bit later, but there is something happening in the state of Telangana, which is an important state with 3.5 crore people, a new state. That state owns the city of Hyderabad, which is one of India's largest metropolis. Also, it has Cyberabad. It is now an IT hub. It is India's economic engine along with Bangalore, Bombay and Delhi. Delhi means Gurgaon, Noida included. Now, what's happening in Telangana is amazing. Up to 29th April, Telangana had only conducted 19,000 tests. When even a state like Chhattisgarh, which is much poorer, which doesn't have a major city, doesn't have as many people traveling in and out of India from that state as say Hyderabad, as Telangana, doesn't have as much population in a city, is not as congested, but even Chhattisgarh had tested a lot more. But Telangana, only 19,000. After April 30, we find Telangana's tests have gone down even further. So as I saw the data yesterday, I did tweet that the way Telangana is testing looks like Telangana is following a law of its own. Unless Telangana believes that Article 370 has now been shifted from Jammu and Kashmir to Telangana and it applies there. So Telangana, any central decision doesn't apply to Telangana unless the bosses of Telangana approve it. I said that immediately I got a pushback from the health minister of Telangana, Ital Rajinder, who asserted that, look, our testing policy is actually better than everybody else's. We are following ICMR guidelines in the full and ICMR is happy with what we are doing. Thank you very much for that. So because that happened, it led to us checking a little bit. You will see a story from my colleague Moshmi Das Gupta today, which will tell you that Telangana government is lying. They are lying. The behavior they are indulging in is dangerous, not just for their state and their city, but for India. Because this is what, remember when I used to cover crime as a reporter, my friends in the police used to tell me that there are two ways of fighting crime. One is called curbing crime, which means you actually stop crime. The other is called barking crime. So what is barking crime? When you don't register crime. If you don't register crime, you can always say at the end of the day, but there is no crime in my district. I am the best SP in the state. So that is what it looks like Telangana is doing now. Now, I can give you data that I have. For example, Telangana's testing is way below our national average per million basis. If you look around Telangana, then Tamil Nadu has conducted 3 lakh tests for a population of 6.8 crores. Andhra Pradesh, 1.75 lakh tests for a population of 5 crores. Telangana, 19,000 tests for a population of 3.5 crores. Now, I can't believe that there is something special in the Sambar in Telangana, whereby people of Telangana are not infected by this virus. Because if that is the case, then they had better share their magical recipe with the rest of the country. We'll all be saved. Now, if you think I'm talking out of my hat, it's not true. Because Telangana health minister said that they are following Government of India's directions and Government of India is happy. So, when you see Moshmi's story, you will see more details. But I will tell you, on 5th of May, 7th of May, Union Health Secretary Preeti Sudhan has written a letter to Chief Secretary Telangana upbraiding him for not testing enough and for... And you can see, this is quite a tough letter with a lot of data and graphics and everything. And what does that letter say? That by that date, all of India had conducted 14 lakh tests, but Telangana had conducted only 20,754 tests. The letter also says that 30th April onwards, even Telangana's low rate of testing had gone down further. The letter, this is the Union Health Secretary's letter to Chief Secretary Chief Secretary Telangana. And I believe other top officials from Delhi central government have also been calling Telangana government. Obviously, apply, no reply, Telangana doesn't care. Article 370 multiplied or raised to the power 3 for Telangana. She also points out that all India average per million for testing is 1,025. Telangana, 546. That is about a half of the national average. So, this is where Telangana right now stands. And she also says that Telangana's test positivity rate is higher than the All India average. That indicates that Telangana is not testing adequately. So, once again, I rest my case. Read Moshmi's story. If need be, I will come back to this. So, whether it's testing less or more is always a controversy. But if in a richer state like Telangana, which owns the city of Hyderabad, is testing about a half of the national average, then it is a scandal in all capital letters.